from them of our allotment of the funding. No journal entries, and you'll see the credit card detail that's attached. I know that's a lot. So, questions?
Questions for Aaron? I do want to kind of second what she said in her email, in her treasurer's report, that we did get everything done, turned in on time, installed. It went pretty well, so thank you for that.
No, I like I said in the email, I wanted to commend everyone. I know this was kind of changing information, and I think that, like I said, couldn't find a better words to say than rolling with the punches, that everyone was able to find their projects that they wanted. I think that we made all really smart choices, which I always think we do, but I think in this case we really did. Really were diligent with our money and really fiscally responsible, which is always something that I can feel really proud to be a part of. So thank you all.
Thank you for all your work. Any questions for Aaron from anybody? Okay. I'd entertain a motion to approve the treasurer's report.
I'll make a motion to approve the treasurer's report as submitted.
I think John beat you to it, Dave, so do I have a second?
I would love to second that.
Thank you. All right, any discussion? All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, treasurer's report passes.
Only thing I was going to add, Kathy and I have the auditors scheduled, and they will be coming this month, last Tuesday in January. And then my first call of the year with the county for city administrators will be this Friday, where we should receive a little more clarification if there was any money that was not allocated out, if we will be getting any more. Yeah. And they're doing that based off population size, just like the original one was. So keep you posted there.
Please let us know. All right, Council Member Greg Creed joined us, it looks like. We're going to move on to the SMAC report. There is a discussion or an email discussion about possibly changing a title for Bill Cole to include SMAC and infrastructure projects, or an SIP title that covers basically everything that he does, all projects, as well as stormwater management. So I do not believe that we need a motion to approve that or anything, but I would recommend going forward on the agenda that we just call it the SIP, which is, again, SMAC and infrastructure projects. Correct, Bill?
Yeah, the item 6 on the paper that I passed out is the asking for approval on the task order for the contract that Michelle and I worked out with the city. So this would be for, I listed it as 21-22. Aaron reminded me that it needs to be yearly. So we'll correct that to just say 2021, and then I'll do the same thing in the January meeting if that's needed.
Okay.
I basically call it Infrastructure Program Management Task Order. So it's good. I'm good with that answer. So program versus project. The reason I'm saying that is, so when Johns County Wastewater has an issue or somebody else does it, you call me. Mm-hmm. I'm going to respond to that, which is an infrastructure issue. And it's across a program, not just a project.
Okay.
So.
That makes sense.
So now you're the SIP?
SIP. SIP, whatever you
want. There you go. Well, I want to be a SIP.
Now you are.
Keep in mind that the SMAC part of the whatever is voluntary. And it is not paid assignment. So SMAC is a Stormwater Management Advisory Council, and that is not a paid assignment. Okay. Right. Am I up, or do you want to?
You are up, Bill Cole.
All right. So I'm going to go in reverse order just to make, you know, stir things up a little bit. Item 6, that is a document that the council is seeing tonight. It does not need to be voted on tonight. I'd love it to be, but it doesn't have to be. It doesn't change any of the compensation, so the rates are the same. It changes the wording that we talked about. And, but it's exact same as the task order from 2020 and 2019 that we had worked in the past. Okay. But please review that, and I would suggest I'm going to go ahead and start working because we need to. But that would be something the council, if they have any objections to, we will change, including that date.
Yeah.
And you have the electronic copy, Kathy, yes. So you can just go ahead and change that. All right. OptiPod, I really want to talk about this. If you can look at the piece of paper that I hope was in your file about making your East Sediment Basin. And John Christie, I know, has referenced this as an engineering document that was impossible to understand, but it said good in a couple of places, so he was happy with it. All I want to do is show the chart at the bottom. So this was the September 10th rain event that we had. Now, if you look at that chart, you can see the pool, the permanent pool volume that's at the bottom. And by the way, when we asked them to adjust it up a foot, they did. So they were willing to adjust that to meet some of the aesthetic needs that we need to do over time. Also, we need to think about how we eliminate some of the dirt outcroppings that exist in there so that it looks more like a level pond and yeah. fills appropriately. But basically, and before storm happens, those of you that are connected to Opti, we get an email that says in 34 hours, it's going to rain an inch and a half or 10 inches or something. And that's the guesstimate from the National Weather Service and other sources. They open the valve and they can drain more water out at that point. So they are pre-storm. They did not in the past do that. As you see in the bottom left-hand corner, the permanent pool volume stayed the same. But they closed the valve, and you'll see as that water went up, that's the amount of water we captured inside of that basin, which is sitting in that basin, and it's losing half a Shawnee while it sits in that basin. In other words, all of the sediment that it's bringing down. And then it slowly opens the valve, and that valve, as it opens, releases water into the lake. Again, I've only been here a few years, but I have noticed from my front porch, which I spend a lot of time on, a noticeable difference in the amount of negative or dirt, mud, that is flowing into the lake as a result. Now, we have a tremendous amount of mud that's already in the lake, but if we can control that and slow it down slightly, that's what this project does. Now, flash forward for just a moment. This particular sediment basin and that notice from Opti can assist us in how we control the lake in the new spillway process if it, you all approve it and we move forward and the engineers agree. Tom gave me a little bit of a tutorial on this morning when we were, this afternoon when we were here, as to what we can do. We will have the ability, again, if approved, now I'm jumping up to number four, spillway rehabilitation. With the process that he is recommending, we are asking an engineer, that's the RFP we're going to put out, to validate the concept, and then asking an engineer to engineer to construction drawings, and then asking a constructor to build, will be able to allow us to control the level of the lake to fractions of inches. So if we want to have 836.2 feet, we'll be able to do that. We'll be able to control and have a small waterfall at that spillway that is an aesthetic value right there at the spillway. We'll be able to pre-drain the lake in a rain event that could happen. And we'll be able to open the gates and move somewhere between 5 and 6 times the amount of water out of the lake in case of emergency than we would have been able to do with the old spillway. Yep. So if we're talking to the state about this, we've eliminated a number of things. The emergency recommendation could easily be eliminated. We could control how much water is going to flood the bottom floor of the clubhouse. Those types of things will be, again, you can never say never in the world of Mother Nature, but you can say the chances of that happening will be dramatically reduced if all of this stuff can be moved forward. So right now we're at that stage. Where we have Tom Haig, who knows what he's doing with spillways and other items like that, coming up with a concept through Foresight Solutions of moving the normal spillway and the auxiliary spillway into one. And to, in order to not have to do anything else to the one over here, the one on the west side, at least at this point. He now has put together an RFP through Foresight Solutions, which basically is asking, hello, Mr. Engineer, validate that that's true. We plan to send those to at least Black and Beach, Olson, and McClure to see if they would bid, reviewing his conceptual ideas the information that Olson has collected on our lake level and the true number of how deep the lake, not deep, the level of the lake is and the level of that, our dam road, and also the level of the existing spillways, both of them, which was done last week, by the way. And that material, that information, they'll validate whether or not what Tom is proposing works. We're also asking them to come up with a better idea. We're also asking them to glance at the, give an idea of what we should do on the roadway on the west side. If we close that spillway and keep that drain still in there, but cover it, can we make two lanes, a left turn lane and a right turn lane out of that corner? Can we widen it so that there's a curvature around there so we don't have to rebuild that wall constantly? And can we install walkways on either side? So a lakeside walkway, which doesn't have to cross a bridge because we're going to fill it in. We're going to have a pipe in there that takes water out over on that side. I said, should we leave that open with Tom? He says, Bill, the amount of water that's going to go through that pipe is infinitesimal amount to what we can put through this spillway. It has to do with just the velocity of water and the amount of space, square footage, that exists in the auxiliary spillway today. So what are we asking for? Number one, draft RFP with legal. Michelle has that now. She's hopefully attaching, I think she is, she's attaching the information to it that every municipality has to put on the RFP. And sometime in the next couple of weeks, once that released, we're asking for Foresight Solutions permission to whatever the city's process is, release that to those engineers or anyone else and meet whatever guidelines we're supposed to in terms of how that's posted, et cetera. I'm not trying to leave out Burns Mac or anyone else. Those are the three that have shown interest, and they're the ones who have, we've talked to about it. So once that's completed, we would send that out, give them a two-week period to decide if they want to bid it, collect the bids, award that concept, and then begin the process. And Foresight Solutions for the city would manage that effort is our intent. And whatever, by the way, we're also asking them for drainage and ideas with a spillway that comes down. We're also asking them to think about how that would interact with anything we do in the downstream or anything QLink does with the downstream park area. This is independent of the document that you asked us to produce, which was ideas for downstream park and walkways. But the purpose of my note at the end of that one to you and Aaron and to John was to basically say, if we want to coordinate something and make it work smoothly, borrowing money, doing this in a mass, this is the time to do it. However, we can still just do the spillway. And the only thing we got to do is make sure QLink has given us permission to use some of that downstream land for this new spillway process after it leaves the existing auxiliary spillway location.
Right.
So that to be worked out. But I want to make sure that's clear. Now, it's my opinion that if this is approved by another engineer and they bless it as conceptual, then you'll see number two, okay, I've done number two, bid and select the engineer for conceptual. We'll get to the third one in just a moment, but the EAP fits in here. We have to bid and select an engineer for final design. So that fourth item, once we got conceptual, they got to have drawings to work from and talk about where that, and those drawings now we've completed, they've gone back into the cabinet in there, but those drawings need to be what a constructor could build whatever is designed from. That would be item four. Again, council approval is going to happen at each one of these steps. There's nothing that we would be doing if the council has approved. But at the conceptual design stage, once we get back from there, we will have a, quote, engineering ballpark answer for what the cost of just the spillway would be. Once we have the engineer designing it, we will have a reasonably sane, notice I haven't said accurate yet, reasonably sane estimate of what the cost of the actual execution would be. Then we select a contractor. By the way, you'll notice it's set number seven. Select a contracting method. I think that this council needs to consider alternative methods of delivery, which cities are doing all over the U.S., that would reduce the risk that the contractor is taking on, keep the risk with the city, but not have to pay the risk premium that would exist. And one part of that is because of the level of contracting and construction expertise that exists here in our community. Again, we'll get to that stage when we get to that stage. Or we go to the traditional route. We put it out for bid, dump that risk on the constructor, contractor, and pay that premium. Okay, those are some of the things we have to think about at that point. Construct it, commission it, and integrate it with any of the other plans that we have. So basically, item number four, I can't completely talk about it until I move up a little bit. But are there questions not dealing with emergency action plan, dealing with item four right now?
No.
By the way, Tom's conceptual ballpark, lick the finger price, is $150 to $250 to do the thing that we're talking about to the spillway.
Wow, I didn't see that at all.
No.
I like the direction we're going. I'm for this direction. Questions I've been asked, are we still going to have some sort of, I mean, you mentioned a waterfall that we can basically turn on and off by the clubhouse there, which I think would be great for weddings and pictures and stuff like that.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
What about the original waterfall?
That's part of the conceptual design to talk about what we're doing with
that.
We would be able to have, this isn't going to be Niagara Falls, but it can be however long we want to make it, downstream from where it is, or wherever we take that pipe to, now pipe. So if you go to Seven Falls in Colorado, it's always a great trip. You climb up the mountain and you look at the very top behind it. Maybe I'm the only guy who would ever do this. There's a pipe that's feeding Seven Falls. Okay. All right. So it's the same situation here. Wherever we want the pipe to go and however many rocks we want it to flow over, what velocity we want to put on it. Yes, we can still do a waterfall at that location.
Okay.
It will not be as powerful and as strong and as it is now during the drain season.
Okay. And in the event of a big rain, or we're dumping a lot of water out in advance of a big rain.
Yes.
That water is going down basically the auxiliary spillway we have there.
Yes.
Behind the soccer field, or soccer goal, let's call it, to the south, and going down into that wooded valley area.
That's the current intent, and I would eliminate the soccer field. The soccer field needs to move to the next
valley. You're moving that net over. Okay.
Yep. Yep. And we would be able to cut across that. My envisioning, again, now I'm into Dean's territory, would be some type of catch basin pool that's 2 feet deep that kids could play in. It runs through that, and then it goes out. But when it's storming down, nobody's near it.
Yeah.
A bridge over the top that handles some of our walkways that we have talked away down there, and that we basically are taking it to the ditch along Holiday. Okay.
Yeah.
And it's also, we can take wherever we want to. You know, Tom's answer is when we have that 12-inch rainfall in 10 hours, that whole area down there will be underwater. Thank you very much. And I think people have seen that sometimes when that happens. But for the most part, we'll be able to control this. The other part this gives us is pre-storm control and post-storm control and during storm control. And when I said, so how do you, basically you can set this up, I hate to say on a timer, but that's my layman's language. To where if we want a rainfall from 6 in the morning on Saturday, or excuse me, on weekends, right there, so people who are walking on the inside of the bridge area on the new spillway, the east spillway, we'd have a waterfall from 6 to 12 in the morning, and then we'd come back on at 4 in the afternoon for people to get. We can adjust with incredible accuracy that level. And if people want to see how this is done, look at the one underneath the bridge for the Call River in Lawrence. That's the exact type. Now, that is much larger, obviously. And it's making power. But at this particular point, those are Obermeyer, the name of the types of bladders that are there, which do not show. They're covered up. But it allows you to give a tremendous amount of flexibility in controlling the level of the lake and then opening quickly if you need to.
So even with this concept, in the event of a catastrophic big-time rain, the area where the soccer field is, you're saying, is going to be flooded anyway?
It would be flooded like it is now when we've had those kind of rains.
And then any improvements, such as the Coronado area down there, would be affected as well.
But
that's going to happen anyway.
We will be able to make that happen less
than
if we fix this other side spillway.
Got it.
Because that will happen when we have that problem.
Yeah.
You know, I think I've been here since 13, and I've had two uses of the auxiliary spillway in that time. I've got some pictures from it on my phone that show.
Okay, keep going. I'll text Gail. She was trying to get her microphone to work. So.
The item above number four is called Emergency Action Plan. And by the way, let's finish four for just a second. The recommendation is Foresight Solutions would be the program manager for this spillway project. We would act in the city's interest. Owner's engineer is what it's called in my racket. But basically, we would be responsible for making sure what the city wants to happen happens with the engineer and then later the constructor. Okay. Now, let's go on to item three, Emergency Action Plan. We can't go to the state with a plan until we basically get an updated Emergency Action Plan. Our current provider of that plan, in Tom's, in my opinion, is not as diligent as they should be in the content of that plan. Since 2010, 11, 12, 13, what the state and federal government, thanks to a number of dam failures, expects is much greater than what has been done in our older plans. And this needs to be a yearly to two-year cycle to do. So what we are recommending is Foresight Solutions does the city's draft of the revised emergency action plan. We hand it to McClure, who has to be the party who turns it in to the state. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to do their work for them. We will have to pay them to put their name on it, but we're going to do that work for them because there's a number of steps, including coordination with Wyandotte County, and this is where Fred and Dean and others come in, and the Emergency Response Center and all the other things that have to be incorporated into it have to be done in the plan. And that includes, you know, Dean, what's the phone number for Burlington Northern? You've got that on your phone, right? Those kind of things. And why am I saying that to Dean? The Emergency Action Center has to have that. So does Fred and everyone else that's going to be have a problem with a dam failure.
Right.
That's kind of what we're trying to get to, so that the state has no reason to say, don't do what you're doing. Tom and I also believe the state will think our plan is much more effective than the plan of fixing it.
Bill,
McClure,
that pretty typical with engineering that you can kind of do the work on your behalf. And then they come in and sign it.
They come in and charge you and sign. They will validate what we've done. What we basically are doing, and this is no offense to the court, is providing them the opportunity to resell that to other people when they see what we've done. Nobody left?
Inside, yes.
Okay, inside you left. So yeah.
The masks, they cover up
the purpose of an owner's.
I missed that engineering joke. I'm sorry.
So, again, if you're Black & Veatch or Burns McDonald or whoever, we do all the work on, not always, but we do work on projects. And the owner engineer that looks over our shoulder and checks everything out, six projects later will be bidding against us to do the work and the next job. How do they learn how to do the work?
From reviewing your work.
That's correct. And it's a natural process that engineers go through. And there's a level of expertise. McClure may not have the level of expertise in dams and reservoirs and spillways that we expected them to have. They can pour concrete, and they do a number of things very well. The wall in the dam, those kinds of things. Lots of civil projects. This is not a knock on them necessarily. It's a, let's get this done the way it needs to be done so we don't have any trouble getting our spillway approved. Now, the action on that, item three, we're going to be that owner. We believe it's under $5,000 of work, probably substantially under. And then McClure, our guess is that they will charge you $3,000. I said $5 million, didn't I? $5,000.
You said $5,000.
Yeah, okay. Cool. And then $3,000 would be something they would charge. We hope it would not be. And again, we hope they did this work, the other work. So they are involved in making sure they do that effectively. Olson did all these drawings for us, the recopying of them for free. I don't know how that happened. Well, they're working here, and they want to make sure we're happy, and it's not a big expense to them. Okay. Let's see. Number two, we've already talked about. I added it at number six. It's the same thing, but basically what I've done is change that to a task order for 2001, and it's basically an extension of the previous two we've had. The RAC has the drawings on it, thanks to Fred and his having a drill here at the right time, and all of the documents that involve infrastructure on the spillway are in Kathy's storeroom, and she's going to organize it. We've got them set into files, and all the drawings that are there are laid out. So I would just ask you, for instance, if someone says, we just repaved Renner, where's the drawings on Renner Road? Any?
Okay. Nope.
This building? The drawings for this? These are assets that the city owns, correct?
Correct.
Okay, and so there's an asset management program. I don't want to do, but we need to be thinking about, just like you guys are doing at QInc, stuff wears out. How do you figure out how to budget for that or prove you even need to do that? So some of the assets that the city has need to have a greater control over the organization of them and the management of them. So Johnson County Stormwater is a great example. We're trying to get a grip on what are the stormwater things are. That ditch is now a stormwater asset. How do we fix it? Those kind of things are going on across the entire industry. Okay, so the racks are done. Two's talked about, three's talked about spillway. So I've asked for two things. Please hire Foresight Solutions inside of the task order we're talking about as one of the tasks that we would do to get the EAP started and done. Draft. Off to McClure, off to the state. And then the second one is, and I can't put a price on it because an owner's engineer's role, that idea of that every time we do something, you will know what the price of that something is. Okay, because who knows how many times we'd have to bid this. By the way, number six, submit and state to the state and gain approval. Under number four, item six. Last time they kept it for 6.5 months, okay, to get approval for when we injected the spillway, which was a great deal until I've now thought about, wow, I just helped the city waste $140,000 to inject all that. Not really, but it got us another 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
Of not having to do something. But that whole point, and Tom's answer is with the folks he knows and with this plan being hopefully bulletproof, it would take a shorter period of time. We don't know that, so I've got it in there to August. The last part is construct September to November. We will not have to take the lake any lower than the lake is now. We will not have to close, for a couple of days the damn bridge for the spillway. We certainly will have to close it when we do the lanes, blow up the bridge over, put dirt to cover up the pipe we're putting in that old spillway, expand that turn area, those kind of things. But for the part we're talking about, the spillway, we may, I think probably not, but we may have to close it to get concrete poured, pumped to the right places, et cetera. But it shouldn't be any of an eyesore or long-term situation. And that construction can flow till next year. So knowing full well that things don't go as planned, especially in the municipal world, if we got this thing approved and everything done, I believe Aaron's still counting money and storing it, we might be able to do it without a bond if this was the only thing we're attempting to do.
Sure.
At the same time, if we get it done this year, we've got, I think, an asset, if you want to call it that, as opposed to what is that thing, what's the spillway?
Yeah.
We'll see.
Hey, Bill, back on your just initial swag, $250,000.
Guess. Okay. Yeah.
I said swag.
Swag. Okay, I got it.
Okay, so that really is just, not just, but it is the spillway itself, the engineering of that. It has nothing to do with anything else that we've talked about from
Correct.
Lamore.
Correct.
Because doesn't it require different engineering and different, almost like what Olson was doing to kind of fill out that plan to kind of really give it a more comprehensive, I mean, to me, you're focusing on the true infrastructure, the nuts and bolts, but isn't there more that's beyond that?
Sure, there would be. There would be landscape architecture yes. stuff that has to be done. This doesn't include the path that I would like to build inside the gravelish path or a path along the outside of the dam so we could have traffic on both sides, pedestrian or bicycle. Not golf cart wise, and we've eliminated some of the hazards there. And a larger, you know, Fred and I discussed the day of stop sign or not. I'm still a stop sign guy there, but those kind of things are not included in that number. That 250 is to, excuse me.
Yeah.
Someone else is selling insurance.
Yeah, in this, but is the expectation then that these engineers would gather up that data for these other pieces too?
Yes.
They
yes.
would. Okay,
yeah.
So we're giving them the full comprehensive task of
yeah.
coming up with the engineering for the full, their ideas.
For all of the other things, yes.
Okay.
Now again, when we put up the concept RFP, we're asking for ideas for the road.
Yeah.
We're asking for what to do with the other, by the way, the other spillway, the benefit of it, can go down 3 more feet than this spillway can. So if we need to go down even, for some reason, we can get 3 more feet out of the lake. We can't drain the lake which is one of the requirements. If you're building a dam today, you have to be able to prove you can drain the entire lake. So that's something we can't get to. But it'll just do the spillway, and it can integrate with other things. So where do you want the spillway to end down below? You know, I have concerns with the current curvature that comes back to, but if we continue it from there away from the toe of the dam, I'm cutting across his field. We need to coordinate with them on what we're trying to do.
Which is, I think, remember the concept from Olson for that area below the dam? You know, we talked about putting a turf field where the soccer field is now. With what we're talking about doing tonight, we wouldn't be able to do that.
We put a turf field somewhere else.
We put the turf field, the next field over that patch of, you know, that area there. We could still do something with that area. Bill one day talked about a water slide. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but that's kind of why we haven't moved with the Olson deal with the foundation, because we need to see which direction we're going.
Right.
So, is that kind of what you were asking?
Yeah, and then I guess my last question too is, are there ongoing costs? I mean, like, there's this initial engineering.
Yes.
But then is there going to be, like, I know you provide your services, but it's on a consultative basis, but there's more engineering required from on an annual basis?
Good question. No, there's not any more engineering that would be needed. There will be sometime, because there's always something that comes up. But according to the plan, we right now have an uncontrolled spillway. Both of ours are. Even with the gate that's over there, it's still uncontrolled.
Mm-hmm.
We have a little bit of control on that. We have no control over the auxiliary spillway now. We would introduce a controlled. There are bladders that basically tilt up what holds water in the lake, and those bladders can be moved. Once a year, they have to be operated. We left them down entirely. Water would come out when it rained, etc. But if we're trying to keep the lake at a particular level, then those bladders have to be operated. They have to be serviced once a year, and somebody has to have the control over being able to operate those bladders. And that's usually done through some compressed air system that's purchased from the original system, but those are going to require an ongoing cost. Probably in the four-digit category for all of the costs associated with that per year. So under 10 grand.
And you can YouTube some of that stuff, and you can see actual, you know, projects in place, and then they have little models that they built that you can get better vision in your head.
And one of the things I would like to at least, I think there needs to be a workshop day where Tom explains how this operates. We take a trip to Lawrence, you know, eat at the brewery that's there, and then tour the Obermeyer, whatever they are, platters that are there. Okay. Got one side of Fred wants to go. At least that's where we're to Lawrence.
Yeah.
Cool.
Fred Hurt Brewery.
That would give everybody a chance to see how these things operate, though.
Okay.
Dean,
what are your thoughts, opinions on this?
Well, I don't know that I know that much about it.
Yeah.
My plan is just to really comment on it, other than the fact that right now it's kind of human's responsibility to raise and lower that lake and manage the water levels during storms and whatnot. So, is that still going to be a queuing responsibility, or is that going to shift to the city now? And those are just the initial thoughts that I have.
Yeah.
But I don't know enough about it.
Right.
I haven't seen the plan or anything to comment on the what, you know.
Sure.
Can I hope that you're aware of now.
No, I mean, I go back to what the foundation is talking about, what the things that could occur down there and how the flow of water that area. So I've not been around when it's flooded and gone through that spillway. I haven't seen what it's done to the current soccer field, Coronado Springs. You know, I know there's a lot of work going on right now, and Brady, you're involved with the Coronado Springs, you know, renovation of that project, and I don't know if these two things butt up against each other, because there's great work going on down there, and if it get to become a flood zone consistently, then the wire putting all that effort into cleaning up Coronado Springs. So, but I don't know. I don't know enough about again, being new and not seeing that auxiliary spillway, that overflow happen and how it floods down there, I can't even visualize it. You know, I'm sure
correct me if I'm wrong, but even if we just decide to repair the
current
spillway, we're going to get flooding down there, even with the work to Coronado, we're going to get flooding down there more often.
Correct.
Yeah, I heard you say that. Yeah, I get that.
And so it'll be less often. we'll be able to control it better.
Yes.
So.
And we can also channel it away. You know, my intent was that feeds Coronado Springs, you know, when it has its dry periods. In other words,
yeah.
Keep that lake filled.
Yeah.
That would be one benefit. And you can do that easily by channeling the water there, but not all of it, but a pipe
right.
of some kind from the spillway, drain down to Coronado. It was open or closed, depending
yeah.
on. And the way I looked at it was, I considered that Q Inc. would operate those bladders when and where necessary. As just another, the Q Inc. does things for the city that the city pays Q Inc. to do, if I'm not mistaken, correct? Great, we add this one
yeah.
to it. What's
yep.
the number? We figure out the cost, and we do it. Or, if he says, no, we don't want to, then the city figures out how they're going to do that. Now, we're back to that whole concept of what's the group that manages the spillway and dams? It can be the lake of residential as part of it, but the city has to be in that somehow. No, I'm not volunteering, but we need to think about where John's running that. Maybe he's the member on it. So when we've got this finished, first off, when we're about to do it, we've made people aware of this. To me, this is a very substantial change in how things exist at Quivira.
Mm-hmm.
That's number one. Now, we may all think it's great. There are a number of people who may not. We need to make sure they're at least aware of this before something goes on. That's not for tonight and this week. You guys can spend $20,000 or $30,000 or $50,000 on a study to conceptualize and see if that spillway works. That's whatever it costs. And we'll be able to know that before we release that. We're not going to award it until you approved it. But at that point, then it's everybody needs to be aware that spillway is going to have a nice sound to it.
Right.
I don't like that sound. Or that spillway is going to operate more often. Wait a minute, you're going to cover up this one over here. I love watching the duck races. Well, the duck race will have a new home.
Yeah.
You know, speaking of communication, I know we don't have anything concrete, but I do think what your comment was, this is a big enough, high-impact property, and they're just coming off a year of multiple high-impact that we saw
mm-hmm.
what that created to the community.
Yep.
We probably should do some legwork up front now, get some things out there and say, we are talking about this and moving forward on some things that we'll be able to start
yeah.
discussing later.
Good.
I completely agree, because there are going to be people that oppose this, no matter
yes.
what.
Yes.
And again, Tom would be willing to come. He's done this at Kiewit, teach
right.
them about what he'd come here and have a meeting and
right.
explain to people what this could do.
Yeah.
He's done that on everything from not quite Hoover Dam down to
yeah.
stream flows in the Mojave Desert.
Right. And people don't realize that the old spillway is going to need constant maintenance and repairs. And we've got a newer structure here that we can utilize.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I agree. We do need to get the word out, whether that's a committee based on the mayor at the time, the president at the time, GM, council member, somebody from Lakeland Residential, Bill Cole, you know, all that.
It's a joint effort, literally yeah. involved, and
yeah.
get the board up to speed. And from a 30,000-foot level where I sit, I think knowing what that other spillway is, the age and the constant upkeep that's going to come in the future, I don't know why we wouldn't. Take a serious look at improved technology and enhancement to not only the spillway, but what that dam can provide from the extra access roads outside the dam you're talking about. Those are great added amenities for features.
By the way, if I'm asking for permission to begin the process, that's number one. And
yeah.
number two, to release when the shell is finished the RFP.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the RFP, like every good municipal RFP, says the city at any time can withdraw this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We can get you bids, get all your ideas, and then not do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Until I've been on the other side of these many times. Right?
Yeah. Okay. Michelle, do you have anything to add regarding the request for proposal to RFP?
I don't. I did get that from Bill, so I'll take a look at that. I mean, it looked just the glance that I did of it looked pretty standard. So we can get that language added in that he's talking about, and I don't see any problems with moving forward with that.
Okay. When Bill is done, I'm going to skip ahead and let John Christie go to his area of responsibility. Before that, does Dave or Greg or Gail have any questions or comments regarding this request?
Yeah, this is Dave here. I'm glad that Annie brought up, the existing waterfall. I mean, just looking at the heritage of the community, that I think that's a key component of Lake Rivera, and that's, I mean, the number one priority is the safety of the community, and, you know, we want to keep our costs under control, but also the aesthetics of it and the usability. I guess my concern is how small is the amount of water coming over the waterfall going to be, because that is, I think with the trails down there and everything, that's just such a nice aesthetic thing. It's not the highest priority, but I do believe it is a priority. And then Brady, you brought up Coronado Springs. I think that's, you know, important to protect that as well. But that, I guess that's my main question is is there a way to make sure the waterfall, keeps its aesthetic beauty?
Yeah.
You know, it wouldn't be better if that waterfall was slightly smaller but ran more.
Yeah.
Than the 3 days, 10 days, whatever, how much rain we got for what that is.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you think about that?
Any other questions from Gail or Greg or Annie?
I think the education part of it's going to be kind of important also, so people understand why we're doing this rather than just repairing the old structures, why we're going to move it all. But I do like that idea of widening those turn lanes. It is, that could benefit some safety over there also.
Yeah. I mean, I just think there's going to be people that oppose it, but I think this has the potential to be a project we look back on 25 years, 50 years from now as one of, you know, the best things that we did,
mm-hmm.
in my opinion. So.
Well, gosh, we're so lucky that we have Bill,
mm-hmm.
a resource right here to help us, because you have such a disability if we didn't have that, so.
That's a great thing. It's fascinating to think. You know, give us the ability to control the elevation, the Opti device in back. Now, they'll want us to pay them to do it, but they're nice enough to send us an email that tells us exactly what we need to know.
Yeah.
And all we have to do is go over and turn the knob and not pay them. So, no offense.
Yeah.
They got paid for what they did, and we're not cheating them, but Opti will help us in ways we don't understand. Now, not helping Huey, because that thing's going to fill up with mud a lot faster, and so we have to think about, is there a way for the city to participate in that?
Mm-hmm.
Because actually we are, our control of that is creating it. And frankly, the silt in that lake is our number one problem long term.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Gail says she's trying to talk, but we can't hear. Gail, if you can hear us, it looks like your microphone is off on your computer.
All right, can you hear me now? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes? Oh, good. It keeps moving. I'm not doing anything, and it keeps moving to unmute me, and it's not liking my browser all of a sudden today where I am. No, I talked to Bill today because I was trying to make sure I understood what we were talking about this evening and you know, some of the decisions we may be moving towards. And, you know, I totally agree with everything that I've heard about, you know, I'm in favor, definitely in favor, at least in my mind, moving over to the east side as the main, you know, as the main place to have all the water flow through. Yeah, I would be concerned that we wouldn't have enough of a waterfall over on the west side. And then another question would be, how much water is actually going to flow on the east side, and what is that going to disrupt? But I think I asked that question last meeting, and it sounded like it wasn't going to be this significant amount of water that was going to flood the soccer fields and stuff, unless we had some, you know, huge rain situation. And as I understand it, what we're trying to decide right now is whether we go on the west side or the east side, and then all of the other wonderful projects that come later, you know, those would be considered at a later point. Is that true? Is that what we're looking at today, is trying to go forward with the RFPs and getting some bidders and getting some more information. Did you hear me? Oh, I can't hear you now.
Lakes, what we said they were.
Yep.
Because we're eliminating, we're moving to a, where we can control it if the lake, there's a variety of other things that Tom spoke about that when you see water up to the base of the rock wall, we'll never see that again if this thing is done the way it's going. Because so much water can be dumped through that spillway.
Okay.
Well, Gail, did that answer your question? Are you content?
Yes, that answered my question.
But before doing that, Aaron, are we good? I think we need to, as Bill alluded to in one of the documents, that, you know, is this something we want to pursue in 2021, or do we need to push it back to 2022? My recollection from the budget meeting is we allocated, thinking that this could be a $600,000 or $800,000 project, that we have the dough set aside for that. Sounds like, you know, we can do a whole lot more than just fix the spillway with that. But I wanted to make sure I'm, my remembering of how the budgeting process landed is accurate.
So we have $400,000 set aside for the spillway dam project. Now that can be spent at any time because that is in the reserve funds. We also have other money in the reserve funds, so if we were to not do any other projects, then we could allocate other money towards it. The other option that we had discussed was when we met with the bond person. So if we decided to go that route, if it ended up being a lot more expensive, or if we ended up doing some of these projects in there together, then that would be the route that we would take.
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Okay.
So, go ahead.
How much was in the other reserve you said?
Let me pull that up real quick. Total, I think we have $575,000, somewhere around that amount.
Okay. So I guess from a financial standpoint, there's no reason not to consider this as being a very viable 2021 project.
$550,039 if you take all of the reserves all together.
Okay. Well, thank you for that. Mm-hmm. I guess I'll kind of jump into my city council report-ish and tie all this together. I was going to say nice things about Bill and what an asset he is to the city, but I think he just volunteered me for a queuing committee, so I'm not going to say anything. Bill and I did have a chance to walk all of this on Sunday, and get my non-engineering brain around all the moving pieces. I like where this is going. So with that in mind, I'm of the opinion that, number one, priority, I guess we would need to have the approval of the task order in order to have your insights and oversight on the EAT. So I guess let's approach it in that order. So I would make a motion to approve the 2021 through 2022 foresight. Yeah.
I can't hear you guys.
Yeah.
There you go. If you mute Gail, I wonder. There you go. Now it went. Can you guys hear it pop?
Well, did you hear John's motion?
Can you hear us now?
I can hear you now. I could not hear John's motion.
I can hear her now also.
I made a motion to approve the Foresight Solutions task order number 2021-01. And Annie seconded it.
Yeah, a motion and second. Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Of that, as Bill had mentioned this in his comments earlier, but the emergency action plan revision, no matter what we do with the spillway, is something that needs to happen for a variety of reasons that have been covered in the past, and will be integral if we have any opportunity at state or federal funding. So that's kind of the next shoe to drop, or that needs to drop. So I, with that in mind, I would make a motion, for, the Foresight Solutions to act as program manager for a new emergency action plan for the city of Lake Quivira, not to exceed $8,000 in total, to include the Foresight Solutions and engineering work.
Okay, we have a motion to approve the emergency action plan.
I have a second. Oh.
Aye.
Aye.
Brady, can I ask you a quick question?
Yes.
Was Greg, did he vote on the minutes or treasurer's report?
No, not on the minutes or the treasurer's report.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks, John.
So, and Bill, correct me if I'm wrong, but the third point to kind of keep this on schedule would be the getting the RFP going.
As the first step in the process. Again, there's no time when we do another step unless each of the fact we've reported to the council, the mayor has directed it, the mayor and or Aaron, when the mayor allows Aaron to do that, that go ahead and get that, collect that. If there's questions asked, we'll answer them from the bidders. We now have three bids or two bids or seven bids. We believe you should pick X, and we bring that to the city council. That's basically what our plan is.
And if there is a motion, it would have to be based on Michelle's final approval.
Right, correct. All of the, after Michelle's looked at it.
Yeah.
So there's exactly what's in for EAP we need for this.
Way
in, re-bring, what is it called?
But there would be no expense to the city for...
The only expense to the city would be ongoing time that we spend between now and when that's done, which would be minimal, not trivial.
And that would be covered by the contract that we approved earlier. So then with that said, I would make a motion that subject to Michelle's the city attorney's blessing and adding to appropriate municipal language that the request for proposal be drafted in a final format.
Okay. Got a motion. Do I have a second? Did everybody hear that?
Yes, I will. I will second that.
Aye.
Aye.
As always, thank you, Bill. Thanks, John. Thanks, Dean, for your input. We'll just keep going on this.
Okay. Yep.
You want to finish your areas of responsibility or get to that later?
I could just ever so briefly, I only have one other tiny piece, and that is that Aaron and I got the, where are we on the contract? Is it signed? And fireworks?
It is signed, and I will be issuing the check this week.
So there we go. So we are set with Rainbow Fireworks to do a continuation that has served the last few, done the work here the last few years. They're going to do it again in 2021.
Yep.
Perfect.
And they have the updated tax exempt certificates, and she said we're all good there.
Good. All right.
All right. Thanks, John. Moving on, police chief report, Fred. Anything to add?
Nothing to add in the report. If anybody had questions on the extensive list.
Super.
Any questions for Fred and his police report?
Yeah, but I do have a question about fire. Did we ever get reports from the city of Shawnee like we do for our, I mean, what did we used to do with it with our?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Mark Steffen was always really good at that.
So is there any
I believe Mark said it was Mark sending him that report quarterly, and he was supposed to forward that, I assume, to
someone.
Brady. I don't know if that's been happening.
Mm-hmm.
But I assume it hasn't.
Just seems like we pay for that.
I could easily reach out to Shawnee and see if they have been doing that, and if not, if they would mind doing that. I thought, Brady, when you and I met with him, he said he would be more than happy to do something like that.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen anything. So,
yeah, me neither.
Yeah, would be happy to reach out.
Maybe okay. You could just email that report to both you and I or something.
Right, yeah, for sure.
And we can report on his behalf.
Yeah.
That report.
Okay.
Does that sound?
Sounds fine to me. That's a good question, Annie.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Aaron will reach out to them regarding that. Okay. Any other questions for Fred? Okay, moving on. City Attorney's report. Michelle, anything to add?
Nothing to report.
Okay. City Council reports or areas of responsibilities. Start with Annie Nolan.
Well, on the tree ordinance stuff, I met right before Christmas with Mike Cooper and Kathy Simpson. She's going to help us do sort of the first kind of call to action as to why this is important, which we feel like it's sort of the foundation of any ongoing work that we're going to be doing, whether it's an actual ordinance or putting this committee together, is to just kind of tell people why we're working, what we're trying to do here.
Yeah.
So she's working on that right now, and you know how that goes, that like when you're thinking about buying a car, then all of a sudden you start seeing that car. I swear, I see every tree activity going on after here now. I just am like stopping my tracks when I see someone, you know. So anyway, it's going to keep moving forward here. So I think that's all good.
She'll be good. She has a way with the words. So.
Yeah, and she's interested in doing it. She feels strongly about it. So anyway, we'll have more. I'm going to schedule another follow-up meeting with the whole team here in the next couple weeks. And then my other, a couple things. The celebration for the city, we set a date. It wasn't the best date, but it is the date because there was no other option, which is good because that means the clubhouse is booked. But it's going to be 9/11.
Yep.
But we decided decided we'll work that into the event and make it, and honestly, it'll probably be even better that it'll make people have a moment right there at the event to really recognize what that day is.
Well, I think Gail even said the flags will be up
coming
in the entryway on the dam. And, yeah, I agree.
So we're going with that. We haven't sent anything out yet, but we're getting close. Kathy Gail and I are working on that. She's also sending out some feelers for the band. So we're getting kind of the big pieces in place. And again, we'll have another meeting here in the next 2 weeks, so I'll have more details at the next one. And then I don't know if Kathy was going to talk at all about this, but she's been working closely with Lisa at the clubhouse. After all the edits of all the city information, I thought that the document that Kathy put together looked great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Erin, you had input, and Fred, you did too, but it's just comprehensive, and I think it's going to be a nice just addition to the orientation piece. So thank you, Dean. Lisa, it's been a great resource, I think, for Kathy, and so that's worked out. That's all I have.
Great. Thanks, Annie. Okay, Dave McCullough, you want to go next?
You bet. Let's see. I'll start with the chicken ordinance. Talked with Michelle today, and looks like we'll be able to vote on that at the next meeting. There was some clarification that needed to be done with the zoning regulations for QAnc, so Michelle's buttoning that up. So I do want to say a really bad joke. So, you know why a chicken coop has two doors? If it had four doors, it'd be a chicken sedan. So, I wanted that on the official record. Thank you, Michelle, for all your work on that. I'm glad we're rounding the bend on that and we can get the ordinance done in time for the spring chickens to arrive. The fuel station, I wanted to thank Kathy for taking care of we had pump number one was down. Had a bad credit card reader, and Kathy, actually using the new copier printer that we had was able to produce a out-of-order sign quickly and get that up there, and double-check was able to get that repaired. So we also have the new credit card processor that we'll see if that's still going to be required for 2021. That's been moved back annually for several years now, so we'll just see if that comes up again. I have been measuring the tank manually. There's actually a daily audit that has to be done when you stick the tank manually because we have such an antiquated computer system. So my next step on that is to go on site and look at what the updated computer system would look like and to see if we do bring it in-house. I think it's likely that we would want to have that updated system in place. Just because it is the manual process, it's kind of it's the step where you go out to the tank and you stick them and you write down the measurements in the log, but then the computer keeps track of how much fuel was sold, and so you have to back up from the time you measured the tank to when that report was run, because it's run at a fixed moment in time every day, and then you have to calculate how many gallons were sold between those two intervals. So it's kind of a pain. So I'd like to see what we could gain by updating the computer system before we make a determination on that. And so I'll be doing that, and that's all I have.
Any questions for Dave? Him and I kind of talked about the computer system, but I think that's definitely worth exploring and looking into. So thanks for doing that, Dave.
I'd love to see some quotes.
Yeah, I do too. Great joke, by the way. All right. Moving on, looks like next, Greg Freed. Greg, are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here. I got to read off my email for mine. All right. I finally got the characters at Wyandotte to respond to my emails about this guardrail on Holiday Drive. After my emails, their response was, "We have received acceptable quotes and the work will begin when weather allows." I was like, "What? That doesn't mean anything to me." So I emailed back, and they said what they're going to do consists of hammering and driving into the new posts along the road and installing new rail. This isn't advised when the ground is frozen and likely is weather dependent. So good news, sounds like something's going to happen on those guardrails. Bad news is it's weather dependent, so
almost the middle of January, so whatever value that is. So nice thing is something's going to happen. Doesn't sound like we have to pay for anything.
Well, I think we all kind of saw it happening. We saw their department out there, and we saw some what appeared to be engineers, and obviously they had to get approval, and it sounds like they've got it. They're just waiting for weather. So hopefully it's sooner rather than later, but thanks for staying on top of them.
Yeah, I was glad to hear something rather than something. We're moving the piece forward here, moving the peg forward. So for a while, it was just we're working on something. So
yeah,
that's all I got right now. When it warms up, I'm going to start tackling some bids on Quivira Lane, start figuring out what's the biggest bang for our buck on doing some of those repairs on that road.
Okay, good deal. Thanks, Greg. Gail, are you ready?
Yes. Can you hear me now? Yes? Okay. First thing I have is the trash recycling. You know, last week before I left town, hello?
Yeah, we can still hear you.
Okay. So last week when I left town, I created the flyer that went out to everyone. It was posted on our city site, our internet site. Some people would have gotten notifications. Unfortunately, it is not, I think probably today it went out from Q Inc. I think Lisa was out of the office towards the end of the week. It will be in the Q Inc. newsletter, and when the one of the families that deliver the things to black boxes comes back in town, they will actually put those in the black boxes. We are having the recycled pickup being picked up 3 times a week. And as I understand it, from Brady U, that Fred may have picked up some of the large boxes and actually visited, or somebody may have visited people's homes who had not smashed their boxes. Is that correct? Okay. The next thing is I toured many of the cities of Kansas City in the Johnson County cities to take a look at their street signs, and I've taken photos of all of those signs, and that was Fairway, Mission Hills, Overland Park, Mission, Merriam, and then I looked at our signs. I will be putting together a report with some photos and some recommendations on what to do regarding improving our signage, along with getting some pricing on that. Last month I talked about some of the brush on Holiday Drive and other areas that should be routinely cleaned up. And I met with Dean and Todd regarding that and some other Garden Club related type items that Todd would be involved in or could be involved in. And so I believe Dean was going to, he hadn't actually, I don't think he had seen Renner Boulevard all the way up to where we actually have our city limit sign, which is, it's pretty rough up there. And so I'm hoping that, you know, when the weather is nice and all of that, that Todd's team can work with me on really looking at that and seeing what we should do to really improve that. That, along with new signage, will make a huge difference as people are approaching our city. Let's see. I think I've put together, Kathy and I are working together on a draft invite, a save the date, as I think Annie was talking about that. And again, when I get back in town next week, I'll get back with Kathy and then Annie on that. I think that's all I have.
Appreciate that. On the mayor's report, you know, we talked about so much of this, so a lot of it's gone. But first and foremost, thanks to our council, our staff, everybody that's been involved. Thanks to Dean for helping out. 2020 was a year that we kind of want to forget. I think it was hard for everybody. We've all got jobs, families, kids, activities, schools, weddings, everything to deal with. So thank you to everybody for making 2020, taking the positive out of 2020 for us. The Q2 board that Aaron and I are on met, and we're trying to figure out kind of which direction the Q2 board is going to go. Dean was there, Graham was there. We had a good meeting about events that Q2 can promote and maybe use the community center and clubhouse, beach, whatever. So we're going to meet again. I don't remember the date, but sometime coming up. Same thing with the foundation. We'll meet quarterly. So we've got one coming up here in January. Those are always pretty informative and exciting. So I'll have an update then. As far as that, that's all I've got as far as my marriage report. I am excited about the possibility of the dam in Spillway and in the area north of the dam. Obviously, I've been involved with a lot of the tornado stuff going on. And I just see a lot of possibilities down there. Like I said, this is kind of could be a cool time to do some stuff that we look back on and really think, wow, that was a good decision. So thanks to all of you guys. So we will move on to old business. We need to consider an ordinance amending Section 4 of the Zoning and Subdivision Regulations of the City of Lake Tavira, Kansas, revising definitions contained therein and repealing the sections amended. Everybody's got a copy of that ordinance. Michelle, do you want to brief us real quick on that?
Sure. The ordinance you have in front of you is extremely lengthy for basically changing two sentences. The statutes require anytime there's an amendment to a section of our code or regulations that we have to restate the entire thing when we adopt revisions to it, when we send it through the whole process. So that's why you have a 9-page ordinance, because it's a very lengthy section 4 in your zoning code. So it contains all the same definitions you've already had. The only changes are to subsection 1 and subsection 96. Relating to accessory structures and structures. It basically just pulled chicken coop out. It specifies that those are not covered by this. That way, next month when we talk about chickens and we approve, hopefully, the so-called final regulations on that, everything will just come through the city. It will not have to go through the Planning Commission or BZA. It will just be a simple application process, and it will not have to go through anything related to the zoning code. So that's what you have in front of you. Again, it's just in the memo that I sent out, it's just the italicized sections. That's all that has changed. If Fred wants to add anything about the Planning Commission, he was there. Sounds like things went very smoothly. They just had questions regarding why this was coming to them. But my understanding is once they understood that this meant it wouldn't come before them, they went ahead and approved this and forwarded it to you for your approval. Unless anybody has any questions about it, all you would have to do this evening is just have a motion and approve the ordinance, and then it would adopt those changes in the zoning code. So if you have any questions, or if Fred can answer any questions for the actual Planning Commission meeting.
Anything to add, Fred?
No. They didn't really raise much concerns. Their only concerns or what happens if it's no longer used, then I would explain it would fall under our ordinance or back to the zoning ordinance if it were a violation under there, and that would address it on the building side.
Yeah.
Did you hear that, Michelle?
What was the last thing? I'm sorry.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, I heard most of it. Thanks.
Okay, any questions for Fred or Michelle regarding that ordinance from anybody? Pretty self-explanatory. Okay. I'd entertain a motion.
I move that we approve the amended ordinance for the zoning and subdivision regulations for the city.
Okay. I have a motion. I have a second. John, second. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any new business that anybody would like to go over? Oh, Dean, you're standing up. You got something to go over?
Nope.
Okay.
Unless you guys have anything you need of me.
Nope. No business. Just thank you for what you're doing. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, don't worry. Yep.
Thank you. All right.
Have a good night.
Bye, Dean. See you, Dean.
Any reason for an executive session?
I'm not aware of any.
What was that?
I'm not aware of any.
Okay. All right. Then I would entertain adjourning this meeting. A motion to adjourn?
I move that we adjourn.
All right. Got a motion to adjourn. Got a second?
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Hi.
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 Opposed? Okay. Being adjourned, happy to hear. Thanks, guys.
Good
night. Awesome.
Yeah. I mean, especially with four people on Zoom. She's on that.
Sorry, guys.
Bill was like, he and I talked about it four times, and I still feel like that.
I know.
What?
I know. I get it when he's saying it.
Right. But then the next day, it's
you just kind of forget.